Today on Central Standard, meet Khan. You might have heard his story on a recent episode of Radiolab. He'll be joining us in studio to share his story along with help from his friend Andy. It's a pretty unique story to tell on radio, and that's because
everything that Khan does, he does slowly. His mind is totally fine. It's just as fast and sharp as yours or mine, but his body and his speech, they're another story.
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we'll also learn about a unique tribute to the songstress Etta James being organized by Kansas City area artists. Hear her influence on our local music scene. That's all ahead on Central Standard, but first, the news.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Good morning, Kansas City. Our city is well known for its jazz and blues tradition. But when you combine both, as six-time Grammy winner Etta James did so well, the city keeps a special place in its heart for you, and there's nowhere more apparent than that in an upcoming tribute to the late, great songstress. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. On Wednesday, April 18th, KC musicians from many a genre will gather at the Marquee Lounge in downtown KC for a tribute performance. And such acts will include Mary Bridget Davies, Danielle Schneblin, Millie Edwards, and Herman Mahari. Joining us now are our guests, the organizers of the event, Brian Redman of the Grand Marquis and John Fitzpatrick, director of the Marquee Lounge. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whose idea was it to bring all this together?
I have to give credit. It was my wife, Mara, and I were talking about it, and we actually heard a, I believe it was Casey Current, and it was a show about the jazz players in Kansas City, and Jardine's had just recently closed, and how we just kind of thought a fragmented group had already become even more so. And my wife, in her wisdom, said, you need to do something. You need to rally these guys and you know, do a celebration.
So it was the wife, was it, John?
I got to give her credit.
What inspires you, John, about Etta James's music?
I just think she's one of the most standout crossover artists. Just covering so many different genres.
And why do you believe this is an appealing event for a venue such as the Marquee?
Marquee hopes, just like we've done with the dance community, to be kind of a home, a safe place for Kansas City musicians to come, feel at home, and be a place where our guests really appreciate and celebrate their talents.
Brian Redman, I'm going to relay this to John, but I'll start with you first. What are your favorite Etta James songs and why?
Well, I really like the songs that maybe didn't get the most airplay, but really have a great connection with the audience and a great interpretive appeal. One of them is called Almost Persuaded, and it's a great example of country soul. You know, a lot of times the only music that you might be able to hear on the radio during the 40s was country, especially in the rural South. And so a lot of times as an African-American artist, you grew up with the songbook of country in embedded in you. And so this is a story Almost Persuaded. She just turns the song inside out. She meets a man at a party, and they start liking each other, and you can just see the development and the it's like a little miniature movie in the song. So,
what about you, John?
As far as favorite tracks?
Yes.
I know it's gotten gigantic, but At Last, I think when that really, I don't know, to me, kind of came back huge in the 90s, it's a starting, as an audiophile, it's a starting track on my wedding CD, and it still resonates every time I hear it. It gives you chills.
That's a very popular wedding song that a lot of people will know, a very popular love song in general, but we will go first with Almost Persuaded, Ryan's pick, and go from there.
A drink in his hand.
that was a snippet of Almost Persuaded by legendary songstress Etta James. We're talking with Brian Redman of the Grand Marquis and John Fitzpatrick, director of the Marquis Lounge. They're both organizers of a tribute concert coming up next Wednesday to benefit leukemia research, the ailment that led to the great singer's passing in January. Kansas City, what are your memories of Etta James? Did you see her perform in person? Do you have a favorite song of hers that strikes a chord with you? We'd like to hear from you at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can hit us up at centralstandard@kcur.org. Ryan, tell us about the tribute performers. How's the actual performance coming together?
Well, we've put together some of the best singers in town. And I'm just appreciative of the diversity we've got here in Kansas City, because we've got some of the best jazz singers. Examples are Lori Tucker and Millie Edwards of the Wild Women of Kansas City, Bukeka Shoals, and Diane Mamaray, that's been in the scene for years and years, and she's really a crossover into another deep well of talent, and that is the blues singers. Such as Mary Bridget Davies, Danielle Schneblin. We've also got some great talent in swing songstress Anna Lee Heinrich, and we've got DJ Sweeney, and then in the country side of things, we've got Kim Zepsky that's going to be performing the song you just heard.
How do you reach out to these artists and bring all these artists together? Did you reach out to them, or they reach out to you, or was it a combination of both?
Well, a lot of the artists, John already has performing at the Marquis, so he was really excited to share the news, and we had everybody jump on board rather quickly. A lot of the performers I know from just being on the Kansas City scene for over a decade.
What about the song Roll With Me, Henry, by Etta James, strikes a chord with you?
Well, a funny thing about that song, she recorded it in about 1955 or so. The roots of rock and roll, when rhythm and blues was being translated into rock and roll as it appealed to everybody across mass radio, it was an answer song to the Hank Ballard song, Work With Me, Annie. And so much like Hound Dog had an answer song that was Bearcat, this is another answer song. And the funny thing is, well, not funny to her, but she had Georgia Gibbs recorded it not too long later and had even more success than she did with the song, which is funny because you fast forward all the way about to, when was it? Cadillac Records came out about 98 or so, or 2008, I mean. When Beyonce records At Last, she gets to sing it for the president, and Etta James, she sees history repeating herself. In that she had somebody record a song after her, have a little more success with it. But this is really a breakout song.
All right. The breakout song, Roll With Me, Henry. Let's check it out.
But right now, here's a gal who not many months ago started all of America rock and roll dance conscious. And here she is, the originator of Dance With Me, Henry, Etta James.
Hey, baby. What do I have to do to make you love me too?
You got to roll with me, Henry.
All right, baby.
Roll with me, Henry.
Go me, baby.
Roll with me, Henry.
Any old time.
Roll with me, Henry.
Don't think you're mine.
Roll with me, Henry.
All right.
Roll With Me, Henry by Etta James. We're discussing an upcoming tribute concert for Etta James to benefit leukemia research the ailment that had led to the great singer's passing in January, our guests are John Fitzpatrick, director of Marquee Lounge, and Brian Redman of the Grand Marquee. Ryan, in bringing together these artists, what were the sentiments of some of these artists expressed about Etta James's music that they talked to you about?
I think a common thread was each singer was excited because there were songs that they had sung since they were little girls, and they couldn't wait to have a forum to do this and to hear everyone else. It's easy to sing when you have a great pianist and leader of the house band, which is Mark Lowry on piano. Can't forget that. They knew it was going to be a good band behind them and couldn't wait to sing those songs that they'd loved so long.
John, talk about the benefit element of this concert and how it works.
Well, we are extremely excited. One of my biggest partners and supporters at Marquee Lounge is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We've done some enormous events with them. And it just, unfortunately, it was leukemia that took Etta from us. And it just, you know, happened to make for a natural tie-in for their involvement. And they've been an enormous help for the Marquee Lounge and supporting this kind of art and, you know, tribute. So they're all excited. They'll be there supporting. And part of your ticket sales do go to the LLS.
Definitely for a good cause. Brian, how does the performance come together? Who's going to sing what, and what have you discussed beforehand as far as how the show will play out?
Oh, sure. Well, I think that it'll be more of a story, not necessarily a chronological story of her life or anything like that, but there's going to be little stories here and there that gives the listener and the audience a little more insight, like we've been talking about, just a little more insight into the music, how this song fits into the overall pantheon of her releases, and it's going to be mixing in a lot of different styles and different singers. It's not going to be just one person singing for a while and then the next one. We're going to kind of pepper it in and keep it lively.
Kansas City, what are your memories of Etta James? Did you see her perform in person, and do you have a favorite song of hers that strikes a chord with you? We'd like to hear from you at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write in to us at centralstandard@kcur.org. You mentioned, Brian, that you want this to be a sort of story, a narrative in the form of a tribute concert. You have a story about Etta James's performance as well that you witnessed firsthand.
Right, exactly. It was Spirit Fest in Kansas City about 1996, and it was in the afternoon. She was on stage, and I just... the immediate thing that struck me, and I was going really because I didn't know a whole lot about her at that time. I was a young kid, about 21 or so, or 20 years old, I guess, at the time. And I was immediately captivated by her great, entertaining stage presence. And the other thing that she exhibited was the use of suggestive, a little bit bawdy humor. But I tell you what, it got the crowd engaged, and she sung like she was in her 30s. You know, it was just really captivating.
And we have another account from Bill, who's calling from Gardner. Hello, Bill. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I saw Etta back in 1982, New Year's Eve, and she was singing. She was backed up by the Grateful Dead and the horn section of Tower of Power. It was unbelievable. She was, I can't even put into words. I mean, it was the greatest musical experience of my life.
What struck you about it?
Well, she had such a power on the stage. She just absolutely took over every aspect of it. It was sexy. It was raw. It was powerful. But her voice was so full of emotion when she sang. I don't know if you're familiar with that song, Hard to Handle, but she took that song, and I couldn't even believe it. It was like listening to it like I've never heard it before. It was so much emotion and a whole new way of listening to that song. It was just unbelievable.
Thank you, Bill, for your contribution to the conversation about the legendary Etta James. A tribute concert is coming up at the Marquee Lounge next week, and we have the organizers Brian Redman and John Fitzpatrick in the studio with us explaining what's going on with that. Now, talk about Etta James's ability to transcend genres as Bill just did. She's opening for the Grateful Dead. She's playing with the Stones. She came up with Muddy Waters. She has jazz, blues, and she can also rock out. That's very rare to transcend and go across genres like that. And this is what's being represented in this tribute as well.
Exactly. And really, I think she's one of the classic American singers. And America is just that. It's a melting pot. It's taken lots of different styles and influences from all over the globe. It's making them homegrown and interpreting them our own way. If you look at great singers, I put her in the same category as like a Ray Charles, as a Willie Nelson, Elvis Presley. Those singers that can sing any style. And here's a common thread. Here's a common denominator. It's got emotion and it's got soul. And when you're telling a story, when you're conveying emotion, no matter what label you want to stick on it, it's going to resonate with the audience.
John, do you feel similar?
Yeah, I think that Ray Charles is the greatest example. When he first went to country, a lot of people, just their jaws dropped. And the way he pulled it off was fantastic. And that's why if you're not a fan of Etta James and you're not familiar with her music, you need to check it out because her catalog is just so diverse and amazing. So I'm just excited to see what all these talented musicians can do next week. It's going to be great. And I'm like a kid in a candy shop, just being around so much talent.
Speaking of transcendent genres, here's an artist I never thought I would mention on this show ever. Flo Rida. Spelled Florida, pronounced Flo Rida.
That's a great example.
Another precedent has been reached on Central Standard. Tell us about Etta James's relationship to Flo Rida on the genealogical food chain.
Well, if you want to talk in pop music today, what's relative, Flo Rida, to his credit, dug deep, and the opening refrain of Something's Got a Hold on Me, which is my, you know, tied for my favorite Etta James song, has about a 30-minute solo from Etta that he took, and it's basically, I got a good feeling. And that refrain makes the song. And like I said, to his credit, it's turned into a huge hit. So he's, you know, helped introduce Etta James to a whole new generation and audience. So.
Well, let's hear Flo Rida's spin on the Etta James. Exactly. Oh, boy. Flo Rida on Central Standard. Let's hear Flo Rida's spin on Etta James. From I Get a Good Feeling by Flo Rida, an example of a sample from Etta James. This song is more like the elliptical or treadmill at the gym than Smokey Nightclub, but there's the connection to Etta James and modern music. Talk a little bit about the lasting influence of Etta James in that sense.
Well, as I alluded to earlier, there's these artists in Kansas City that grown up listening to her. And I think she'll continue to influence artists because singers and musicians are naturally drawn to somebody who can convey emotion and can connect with the audience. And there's no better way to steep yourself in that type of performance than to listen to her music. And we'll see it on Wednesday.
Now, we do have the original version of I Get a Good Feeling for Etta James purists that want to hear where the influence came from. And tell us about the original piece.
Well, it was one that Something's Got a Hold on Me. It's one that she recorded in about 1962, and it's gospel charged. And like a lot of great music and the soul influence, that's one thing I would bring out about that song that you may not know.
Let's hear the gospel charged I Get a Good Feeling by Etta James.
Get a good feeling, yeah. Yeah. right now that ooh, I believe. I said I really do believe that something got a hold on me.
Something's got a hold on me. Sometimes I get a good feeling. Etta James, the incomparable Etta James, here on Central Standard. There's a tribute coming up to Etta James' life and music at the Marquee Lounge next Wednesday. Is this performance a litmus test for what we might see at the Marquee Lounge in the future?
I really hope so. And I just wanted to add that Mark Lowry, along with Brian Redman, two of my favorite musicians in Kansas City, Mark, as well as one of the perfect people to be co-director and part of the house band because of his ability to, because he is so eclectic. He can go from Radiohead to Duke Ellington like that, and he's known for that. So he's the perfect guy. We are in the AMC Main Street Theater, so a lot of people still lose us. It's the AMC Main Street Theater Marquee Lounge in there. And we're hoping with Brian and Mark's blueprint that the singers get excited to do this again on a regular basis.
Speaking of blueprints, the song Misty Blue, once performed by Dorothy Moore, was also performed late in Etta James' career. Tell us about that.
Well, I like that song because it's one that we've heard before. It's on her final album. Her sons produced it. And really, even though her voice is maybe lacking or beginning to show some limitations in range and flexibility, it's lost none of its intelligence and interpretive power. And when she says, "Listen to me good," that's one of my favorite little lines she says in that song.
Well, we are going to play this, Misty Blue by the legendary songstress Etta James. We're talking with Brian Redman of the Grand Marquee and John Fitzpatrick, director of the Marquee Lounge in the AMC Theater. They are organizers of a tribute concert coming up next Wednesday to benefit leukemia research. Leukemia was the ailment that led to the great singer's passing in January. On Wednesday 18th, KC musicians from many a genre will gather to tribute and pay tribute to Etta James. Such acts will include Dave Stevens, Mama Ray, Herman Mahari, Anna Lee Will, and Henry Hart, among a host of others. But here is the songstress herself, Etta James.
It's been a long, long time. Looks like to get you off my mind, but I can't. Just the thought of you, babe, just the thought of you turns my whole world a misty blue. Just a mention of your name, yeah, turns a flicker to a flame. Listen to me good. I think of the things, oh, I think of the things
we used to do.
Misty Blue by Etta James. A tribute concert is coming up next Wednesday. The organizers of that tribute concert, John Fitzpatrick and Brian Redman, thank you so much for coming.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're going to take a quick break. When we return, a story of friendship, literally at the speed of sound.